You're listening to the Legacy Church podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Excited this morning to introduce our, we have a guest, and I'm going to do that in just a second, but it comes with, I need to set up the introduction just a little bit. About 2.5 years ago, actually it was in the spring of 2017, I made a phone call to a dear friend of mine, who's really, we've been a part of each other's lives in ministry for a long time. When we pastored in Detroit, planted the church there, they brought a team from Cedar Park in Bothell all the way to inner city Detroit and brought their, I think about 100 people. It was a lot. There were a lot of big choir, and they served with us and alongside of us in our neighborhoods there in Detroit. And here we are some almost 20 years later, planting, and I had an opportunity just to call him and have a FaceTime discussion with he and the executive pastor over there at Cedar Park and say, hey, we'd love to plant a church in the Liberty Lake area and would love to have your partnership and be a parent to our church. Would you consider and pray about doing that? They didn't hesitate. Pastor Jay didn't hesitate. He said, absolutely. We're in. What do you need? How can we set this up? Let's make it happen. And I will tell you that for 2.5 years, we've been under the care of, if you see it on our text to give, CP Legacy, that's where that's coming from, Cedar Park. And Pastor Jay pastors there. He and his wife Sandy lead pastors there. Took us on, and just seeing the mission of Jesus over on this side of the state, took us on, and we have been walking under their covering, literally for 2.5 years, and with the freedom to create a fellowship and that just fits who Patty and I are and what we believe Jesus is calling to create here in Liberty Lake in this area, and it's just been amazing. So in the next few weeks, in fact, on March 8th, we're going to invite you to come back for Vision Sunday. We're going to talk about the near future. The near future, we're going to become a sovereign autonomous church, which means we're heading out of the harbor and we're moving out into deep water, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to get our big boy pants on and move out. And I just thought it would be great to have Pastor Jay come up and just give us opportunity to say thank you. This is a process of, so we're going to stay under their covering until we become as such a time. Our hope is at the end of April to celebrate that day being a sovereign church. So you'll hear more about that. Come to the March 8th meeting. That'll be great. But I thought it'd be great just to have Pastor Jay come and share his heart with us and give us an opportunity to stand to our feet. Come on, and welcome Pastor Jay and say thank you for 2 years, 2.5 years of great ministry. Come on. Yeah.
I was just thinking as you were saying big boy pants, if you want to borrow a pair of my pants later, I don't know about that. Oh, man, I'm just saying it's been such a joy, and it's been awesome for our church, for myself and our team to just be a part and say go and help in whatever way we can. It's like, yeah, I think I said it before, had opportunity to be here last year with some of you all, and I said, man, if it wasn't, our church is on the other side in the Seattle area, so if it wasn't such a long commute, I would go to this church because I love Gary and Patty, and was it last year that we went to Israel together? Yeah, and maybe next year. So in 2021, spring, another group. So, we love their family. Do you guys love your pastor? Come on. Gary, did you hear? That was not a unanimous response. I think some of you guys were like sleeping. I'm going to try it again, and I just want to ask you, if there's a gratitude and a heart of love for your pastors and the team that's here, will you just make some noise in that direction? Amen? Come on. Yes. Come on. We believe this. You even got a standing, couple of stands. But I'm just saying, we pray God's blessing and favor upon you and Patty. You know, and that's what Sandy and I do. That's what Cedar Park does. But I know that's what Legacy Church does. Because when God pours his blessing on them, you get blessed. Just like when God pours his blessing on you, the people in your life receive blessing. And so pray for them. Pray that God gives them vision, that God gives them grace, that God gives them insight into the various things. And so I want to just take a couple of moments of your time. You know, when preachers say that, they're lying. It's going to be more than a couple of moments. We'll take some time today because I want to jump into a passage of scripture that I believe is going to do a couple of things. Number one, it's going to bring some encouragement to each and every one of us. It's going to bring some encouragement to us to show us how much God has for us, to show us how much God has given towards us and what he is holding for us. And I think we need that reminder and that encouragement. But secondly, to also give us a heads up that we're walking. You talked about going into the deep waters, into the harbor. Some of y'all are swimming in the deep waters now. And by swimming, I mean a couple feet under and every once in a while popping up for air. You're going through tests and trials, and it in no way diminishes how much God loves you. It doesn't mean that God loves you less or God is trying to squeeze the life out of you. But friends, it is an opportunity for our faith, which is the most important component of who we are, to rise to the surface. And God is providing a ground where our faith is proven. And then lastly, I want you to know this, that there is great reason for encouragement. Not just because of heaven, and not just because this is a time where you're getting stronger or better in trials, but know this, that Jesus himself is praying hard for you. And we're going to look at that, what that prayer looks like and what that means in our lives. And so I just want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think we'll have some of the passages on the screens up here, but 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll be reading in the New Living Translation. And so if you think that's not a real Bible translation, then you can follow along in whatever one. It is, by the way. It's a real Bible translation. If you like the Living Bible, it's not the Living Bible. It's the New Living Translation. The Living Bible was a pair. I don't know what I'm talking about for you guys. It's good. It's good stuff. There's lots of good Bible translations out there. And we do well to kind of keep our head in a lot of them and to see, okay, God, how do I understand this thing deeply? How many of you love God's word? And the Bible is important. The Bible is important not just for us to listen to, but for us to engage with personally and to respond to be students of. And don't just leave it up to pastors to preach the word of God. Preach the word of God in your life every day. Preach it out loud. So 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says this, and I love this passage of scripture. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the Bible isn't just something that we should read. It's something that we should engage with and respond to. And so when I read verses like that, I'm like, come on, Lord. If all praise belongs to you, the God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give it up. So all praise to God. Amen? Come on, you can make noise this morning. Colton was giving, what was that? The whoop, whoop, okay? And he said, you know, I don't remember what else he said. I was just caught up in the whoop, whoop. So if you want to, like, amen this morning, you could amen. If you want to say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, say that. If you want to whoop, whoop, just whoop whenever it comes up. But the Bible tells us that all praise belongs to God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we receive communion together this morning, remembering the body and the blood of Jesus, it is God who has given Jesus as our means of salvation. There's no other way to God except through Jesus, and all praise belongs to him. And not just when the team's playing, but, and I don't mean the Seahawks, I mean the worship team. Because the Seahawks season, it was so sad how quickly it ended. We always got next year, amen? Can I get a whoop whoop? Okay, all right. So look at this. It is by his great mercy. It is by the great mercy of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been born again. If you're born again, just think about this. It's by the great mercy of God. I love to think about that. You said, I know what Gary Paul Moreno is capable of. He said, did you guys catch that? That's his middle name. I just heard it today, hot off the press. I'm assuming it's his middle name, unless you're talking about a relative of yours who's really bad and you're just like airing their dirty laundry. But you're saying, I don't know, that was fun. The mercy of God, like, wow, God, you gave that to me, salvation. I've been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. How many of you believe that? That's not optional, by the way. That's required for salvation. You have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Not just that Jesus died for our sins so that somebody could get punished because of how naughty we are, but that God, after paying the penalty, Jesus, after the penalty had been paid, he conquered death, he conquered the grave, and he rose again. And we believe this, we declare it. Even as we receive communion, we are a living declaration that Jesus was raised from the grave. The Bible says that every time we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we announce the Lord's death, right? Until he comes again. Until he comes again. And as much as we know and believe and affirm that Jesus died and rose again, we know and we have a great confidence that God has promised and we await it that Jesus is coming again. He is. He's coming again. It's not just some line that old school preachers would tell to like scare people into running to an altar or various things. It's the truth. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And this is what the Bible says. Because that he was raised from the dead, now we live with a great expectation. We live with a great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I just want to pause there for a moment. You know, we talk about the fact that because Jesus died for our sins, because he was raised to life again, we've been born again. It's by the mercy of God. And now we live in a different way. We live knowing that the best days are not behind us. Are you with me on that? Any Seahawks fans out there? The best days are not just behind us. I got one friend who's all decked out in Seahawk wear right here. My bro right here. That's right. Come on, 12th man in the house today. The best seasons for the Hawks are in the future, right? More Super Bowls to come? Okay, all right. You heard it here first, right here at Liberty Lake, from my friend, what's your name? Grayson. From Grayson, right there. He's a prophet in God's house. I'm just kidding. We're not going to go there. Sorry, Lord. But, you know, we live with a great expectation because of what Jesus has done for us. Do you ever read the Bible? You read the stories of Jesus and the disciples and miracles of Moses and the children in the wilderness and all of the great ways in which God just came through and did awesome things. And you think, wow, God, I wished that some of that stuff still happened today. God, I wish I could have been there for the good old days. God, I wish I could have seen some of the great things that you did in the past. Let's be honest. You ever think of those things? Yeah? No, I'm the only one. Okay. Do you ever have the thought that maybe the best miracles have already taken place? I mean, just being honest here today, we read those things. We say, wow, I mean, I don't know if that stuff is ever going to happen again. And subtly what we're telling ourselves is we are kind of confirming a very faithless presupposition that the best is not yet to come. The best is not yet to come. We look at things like miracles and healings and wonders and signs and the sea splitting open as the greatest miracles. And the things in the future are just, you know, kind of, they're okay, but they're like junior varsity. That's not what the Bible teaches. We live with a great expectation. We, who've read the stories, who are aware of how amazing our past is, the past of our forefathers is, the Bible says we live with great expectation. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Listen, there's one friend who's an optimist out there who has come on in me. I haven't heard any whoops or anything out there. The best is yet to come. And look, I'm not just speaking as a self-proclaimed optimist today. I believe that Pastor Gary and I have this kindred spirit where it's like, hey, that's cool. It's going to be awesome. How's it going to work? I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be good. You know, we're not necessarily the detail-driven people, but we bring the faith to the picture. Because us optimists think that we hold the corner on the market of faith, right? And some of you are not optimists. And so you're saying, well, that best is yet to come. That sounds more like an optimistic statement. Some of you prefer to call yourself realist, but the rest of the world knows you're just a pessimist. And if you're not laughing right now, you're probably offended. And I'm sorry, but somebody's got to tell you. You know, but the best is yet to come from a scriptural perspective is not about optimist or realist. There you go. I'll throw you a bone right there. Optimist or realist. It's not about your outlook on life. It's about the solid truth of the Bible. friends, when we talk about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming again, the Bible talks about that day when the voice of the Lord shouts and the archangel come and the trumpet call of God and the clouds part and Jesus descends and calls us heavenward. That's not a fairy tale. That's real. Are you with me? Okay. And this is what I know. That is going to be the greatest day ever. That is going to be the greatest day ever, when every tear is wiped away, when every sickness is healed, when every loss is remedied, when every pain that we have carried, when every injustice that we have endured, when every sin that we ourselves have committed is wiped away, and we are with the Lord forever. Anybody get excited about that day? Come on, woo! Listen, it still hasn't happened yet. I think we would know if it had. And so I can say with laser-like precision, accuracy, and 100% faith that the best is yet to come, because Jesus is yet to come, right? And so I say that as an encouragement, because we need to remind ourselves, we live with a great expectation. An expectation of what? Of an inheritance that we have been promised. How many of you get discouraged when you look at your 401k or your stock market or different things? You're like, whoa, that was not a good day. And then the next day, you're like, whoa, it was a better day. And this thing's just up and down. Or maybe your savings account, your checking account, maybe your house value, your car value. Things of human value, things of earthly and monetary composition, they go up and down, and mostly down in value all the time, right? You ever been given a gift, and you just watch it, you know, like, hey, it's so awesome, and then it's not as awesome the next year, and it's not as awesome the next year, and eventually, wait, where'd that good gift go? Friends, this is our human experience, our earthly perspective. But from a heavenly perspective, what we've been given, what we look forward to, what we have been promised by faith in Jesus Christ is an inheritance that is not diminishing in value. And so it is given to us by the grace of God. Here's our temptation. Sometimes we think, well, every time I access the grace of God, I'm like, it's not as good in heaven for me because I've borrowed a little bit against my investment. I've come like the prodigal son, and I said, hey, I want my inheritance now. And we think any goodness that God gives us here now somehow diminishes the bank account of heaven. That's baloney. That's baloney. The mercy and the grace that God gives us now, the provision that he brings us now, the healing and the miracles, all of the goodness of God that we experience and we receive now doesn't diminish or tarnish or remove anything from the promise of our future hope in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And consequently, when the things in this world are taken from us, when things are reduced, when life throws us a curveball and we walk through deep waters and we take on some water in the process, it is in no way saying that God's grace and mercy in heaven is somehow insufficient or incapable. You see, what's happening is through our faith, as the Bible says, God is protecting you. God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. How many of you are saved? Yes. I mean, let's try it again, because I just want to give you an opportunity to do that moment over. Because it's like, you should be a little more excited about it. If you've been born again, if you've been given an inheritance, if you're one of God's trust fund kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many of you are saved? You are saved and you know it. Whoop, yeah, come on. All right, that's good. You are saved, and yet the Bible just says, until you receive your salvation. Listen, God has promised us the inheritance. He said, this belongs to you. And yet the day is still coming when the fullness, when we step into our fullness and we receive in full the promised salvation that is being kept for us in heaven. So that day, the day of Jesus Christ that we talked about, is in the future. And until then, God is protecting you. God is protecting you by faith. So it's telling me something. It's telling me that the things that we experience in this life are not of utmost importance, that God has given us a great gift that protects us during this time, and it's our faith. If you are saved, it is by faith in God. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith, friend, is the most important component of who you are. Sometimes we think our job is the most important thing. Sometimes we think our spouse or our kids. Sometimes we think our ministry or our calling. We think our home or our house or the way that we can provide our health. These are the most important things about who we are. And those things are important. And God works in those things. But friends, those things will all change. They will all change. They will all pass from one form into another. And when we hang our identity, when we hang God's identity in those things in our lives, we're stepping away from the protection of faith that he has given us. But when we invest in the faith and we say this, God, I know that other things might change, other things might be squeezed, other things might fall away, things might happen in my life, but God, protect me by my faith because it's coming. The day of Jesus Christ is coming to be revealed at the last day. And then the Bible says this. So, verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, be truly glad. Be truly glad, for there's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. You know, anytime the Bible tells us, hey, be truly glad. There are a number of times in the New Testament in particular where the Bible says this. And it always says it in the context of difficulty. In the context of difficulty. And here is no exception to that very good observation. Be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. We've talked about it. Amen? Yeah? Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. I believe that it's true that in a room like this today in particular, that there are many who have been walking through a season where you'd say, trials? Trials might be a kind word for what I've been going through in this last season. In fact, it feels more like an inquisition than a trial. In fact, it feels like my whole world has been turned inside out and I've just been run through the ringer time and time again. And I don't know if it's your marriage, your family, it's your health. I don't know if it's your job. I don't know if you've just felt like a wandering soul for so long. But friend, I want to encourage you right now that the Bible does give you an assured promise that there is joy ahead. There is a wonderful, wonderful joy that is ahead of you, and that this season, and I'm not diminishing or making small or being trite here, this season that you're in will not last forever. You know, as we're just in our time of worship, I want to be careful to not try to sound like I'm trying to be emotional or manipulate anything, but I just felt like the Lord put it on my heart that in particular, there's some that might be here today, maybe just one couple in particular, that this trial and this season has just been gut-wrenching for you, and you've been asking the Lord for a family, you've been asking the Lord for kids, and it just seems no. Doors have been closing, and maybe even experienced the terrible pain of miscarriage, and you feel like that's the end of the road, and you don't know where else to go. And friend, I just want you to know this, that you're dearly loved by God, that God hears your prayer, God sees your pain, and there's wonderful joy ahead. And it's Psalm 100 says that the Lord is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness extends from generation to generation. And in particular, I don't know who's kind of just resonating here and your heart is feeling this, but friend, I want you to know that that God's faithfulness will extend from generation to generation in your family. He's the way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And you belong to him. And this season will last for a little while. And what's happening right now is that God is changing you in this process. Don't misunderstand me. I am not by any means saying that God is causing these things in your life. God is not the bringer of death. God is not the bringer of loss. God is not the bringer of these things. God is the author of life. God is the author and giver of life. Jesus came that we might have life and life abundant. But as we walk through the trials and the pains of life, God is so faithful to protect us during that time so that our faith can be made strong. And God's changing you right now. God is changing others in times of betrayal, in times of loss, in times of struggle. Friends, your faith is what it's all about. Your faith is what it's all about. It's being tested. It's being tested to show itself as genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Amen? Yeah. Your faith is where it is, what it's all about. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Your faith is at the core of this whole equation. Your faith is at the core of this whole equation. Some of you today are feeling strong in your faith. You're feeling encouraged because God has answered prayers. You've walked through different seasons and times, and you just think, thank you, God, I believe. And I feel like I could pray for miracles. I've seen miracles. God is so good. And you're like amening everybody, and you're high-fiving, and you're praying for others, and you're just walking through that season. I know that there are others that are in a season that you feel like your faith was somewhere, but I can't remember where I put it. It was there, and I can remember good seasons. Friends, I just want you to know this. It might be being tested, and it might not be in the same condition it's been at different places in your life. But friends, God is protecting you by that faith. God sees that faith at the core of who you are, and he is doing everything to make sure, to ensure that as the refining process of life goes through, that your faith remains strong. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that really disturbs me. If you have read the whole Bible cover to cover and you haven't been disturbed, you probably should read it again, because I'm going to be honest with you, and I say this with all due respect for the Word of God, but it's a weird book. And there are some stories in there that you're like, really? Why is that one in there? There are some sayings in there. You go, I don't receive that good. That doesn't feel good. But the more we dwell on it, we realize, okay, God, thank you. Okay, God, thank you that that's there. One of them is this. It's in Luke 22, and it's Jesus talking to his disciples really on the night that he was betrayed, right before as he set forth the pattern of communion that we walked in this morning. It's this morning. It's dark in here, so I keep feeling like it's nighttime. Our sanctuary in Bothell, it's got a fabric roof. It's the weird, if you've never been in our building, it's the weirdest thing. So it's like a tent. It's like a giant tent that seats 1,000 people. And so when it's light outside, it's light in there. So I'm like, it must be nighttime in here. It's dark over on this side of the mountains. I don't know. It's just different. But Jesus said to Simon Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Like, that's not a good thing that you want to hear Jesus say to you. You don't want to be reminded that there is a devil. Like anytime, the only verse I like in the Bible that mentions the devil is when the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Amen? Romans 16, 19, and 20. You know, you're like, boom, yeah, that's what I like to hear. Do that part, God. Don't do the whole sift me like wheat thing. It reminds me a lot of the story of Job. You know, the story of Job started, and Satan asked essentially God, basically the same thing. Yeah, let me mess with this guy. You think he's all good and loves you and faithful? Hey, let's start to separate some of the things in his life that make it feel like God is good from the core of who he really is. And let's see how good that core is. You know, and the story of Job is a weird one. It's another one of those ones, like, I just wish there was a little more clarity. You know, like, God, could you give us more of a longer preface here on this one? Could you just, like, tell us the end before the beginning? But suffice it to say, the same accusation that the devil brought against Job, he brought against Simon and each of the apostles. He did. And you know, sifting is a process of separating out different things. Come on out, guys. Sifting is a process of separating out different pieces things that are good from things that are extra. And here's what the Lord reminded Simon Peter, what I believe he's reminding us today. That you and I will walk through a period of time where we are sifted in this process, where we are being shaken, and the things that make it feel like when we go, oh yeah, amen, brother, God is good, hallelujah, got a bonus check, God is good, oh yeah, we're able to tithe, give to missions, God's good, all of these things, and it's like all of a sudden we go, oh wow, the cupboards are empty, is God still good? And so we're asked the question, is it the chaff that makes us say God is good, or is it the kernel that makes us say God is good? Because the chaff are the blessings of life, the good things that God brings into our lives. But the core of it is our faith to know who God is and to trust him. And I'm grateful for our sake that Jesus prayed for Peter in that situation, right? Jesus said, okay, I know this is what you're going to go through, but don't worry, Peter, I'm praying. Not just praying, I am pleading for you that your faith would not fail. Faith would be strong. You know what's true? Jesus' prayer worked. You know, the book that we started reading, 1 Peter, was written by that very same man whom Satan wanted to mess with and ruin and destroy. But Jesus prayed for him, and Jesus' prayers work. You grateful for Jesus' prayers? Okay, as we wrap up this thought, I want you to know this. It wasn't just Peter and John and Andrew and Matthew and these apostles that received the prayer of Jesus. You are being prayed for by Jesus right now. Romans chapter 8, 34 says, who then will accuse us? Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading, same word, pleading for us. Pleading for us. I'm humble enough to admit that I've prayed a lot of prayers that didn't seem to work. I mean, I've prayed for a lot of people who are sick that didn't get well, right? But I just want to keep trying it. Say, okay, God, you know, the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I'm grateful that every prayer Jesus has ever prayed worked. And I'm also grateful for the fact that Jesus is praying for my faith right now. He's praying for your faith right now. You will not fail. This season will not last forever. This time will not go on indefinitely. Jesus is with you. There's great joy ahead. You've been given a great promise, and we live with expectation today. This church lives with expectation in this community. This pastor lives with expectation in a region, in a city that deeply needs Jesus Christ, even though they might not think they need anything else. There's great joy ahead. Would you pray with me just this morning before we end our time together today? Just with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, would you speak to our hearts today? We want to be honest with you. We want to receive everything you have for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask this one question here? As we talk about salvation, faith, promise, maybe you're here today and you know in your heart that you're not right with God in this moment. You know in your own heart right now that you've not been living for Jesus. You've been living for yourself. And you know where that's been leading and hasn't really been the greatest journey. And today you're willing, ready to make a change. If you know you're not right with God, but you want to be today, will you just indicate, just show me your hand. I want to include you in prayer here in just a second. Amen. Yes, thank you, my friend here in the middle. Are there others this morning? Yes, thanks, bro. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. I know I'm not right with God. Amen. Thank you, my friend back over here. I'm guessing that you're thinking of some things in your life that you're not proud of. Will you just acknowledge them before God? Just confess them right now to him. The Bible says that if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So thank you, God. We confess our sin before you. We ask for forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, we believe you died for our sins. We believe that you rose again, that you're coming, and we give our lives to you today. We give our lives to you today. Just one final question. How many of you would acknowledge that you're in that season of testing and trial and you're saying, pray for me today? You're saying, I'm grateful that Jesus is praying for me today. Can I see your hand as well in that difficult season? Amen. Thank you for that honesty. And I know that there's a story behind that. I know that God is on your side. Jesus is praying for you right now, pleading for your faith in the middle of it. For your faith. Stay strong. Stay strong. Would you stand with me? We're just going to sing a chorus together. And I want to ask you to do this. As we sing this chorus, will you just stretch your hands towards heaven? And will you thank God in the midst of what trial you might be in? Don't just focus on the need, but just say, God, thank you that you're sufficient. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for the faith that you've given me and help it to be strong during these days. Thank you, Lord God, my living hope, Jesus Christ.